This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Law,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya and the Pain in the Ass Choppy on the Rant EM Radio. And that's just too sweet.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on rantemradio.com. Well, we are live, but we're not live. We're pre-recorded. But as always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya. It is Friday. It is May the 10th, 2019. And if my memory serves me correctly, which it never does, this should be episode 304, and we're moving right along. So how's everybody doing? Wasn't going to do a show tonight. Choppy needed to take the day off because he's being Mr. Mom, which the Studio C is at his house, and I'd rather not record an episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks where he has to tend to two kids, one's a toddler and one's a newborn, him getting up every fucking 10 minutes for something, which is kind of annoying. So he said, I can't do the show this week. Wife wants to go out. Whatever. It is what it is. I am not with child. I technically am, but not that young anyway. And I have nothing to do. So here I am. So you get a filatorial today. But not just a filatorial. You'll probably get some wrestling talk, too. No, you are going to get some wrestling talk, actually. I have a lot to talk about. And next week we'll preview the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and NXT's having an event coming up. I think they announced some matches. We'll talk about that. I got a lot of wrestling talk to talk about. I picked some stuff out. Some retro shit we'll talk about, too. But it's been an interesting week, to say the least. The weather's getting slightly warmer here on the Northeast, and it's about 70 degrees out today, but now it's starting to rain. Thank God I made it home in time, because I don't like using, well, Phil Ray, a fun fact, I don't use umbrellas, and I'll tell you why. Since I was a child, every time I've had a umbrella, it breaks. Whether it's a $5 one, whether it's a $75 one. Yes, I've spent $75 on an umbrella, just to prove a point. And I don't like them, so I'll wear a hat, I'll wear a hoodie, jacket, and I'll wing it. I don't care. So I made it home. I had a dentist appointment this morning, and I've been chronicling my dentist appointment. Now, normally my teeth are pretty good. I don't normally go to a dentist. I don't, you know, but when I do go, it's already like just a cleaning, and they give you the talk of, you know, make sure you use this and that, the third. I haven't had cavities since I'm a fucking kid. I got a ton of cavities, and apparently I need root canal, right? So the dentist, and I had to get a tooth pulled a couple months ago. I told you guys all that. So they had a tooth pull, a tooth pulling, and a couple of fillings, and my insurance is now used up for the year for dental. Okay, fine. Doc tells me, well, now you need root canal on two teeth and crowns, right? Which out of pocket is about $5,000, almost $6,000. I thought it was only one tooth. And I said, all right, I'll pay the fucking $2,300. I'll pay it off, whatever. Because the pain is intermittent. It's not like, you know, it's not every day. It's every day, but it comes and goes. So I've been eating fucking naproxen, ibuprofen, whatever, which is not good anyway because it fucks your stomach up. But I digress. So the doc now tells me there's two of them. He didn't tell me that. Oh, I thought I told you. No, you didn't. So thanks a lot. So now I'm like, I put it on Facebook. I'm upset. And I have a couple of people who want to help out, which is cool, with their dentists, and maybe they'll work something out. Whatever. I'm not too worried about it. However, I will tell you that I'm not paying fucking $6,000 for two teeth. I'm not doing it. Either I'll go to a dentist, maybe I'll go to a dental school. Like, I know it's important. I know you need your teeth and everything, but I, you know, like, in my mind, $5,600, I could buy a fucking used car with that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to process this all, you know? So, of course, one of my friends posts a link to our mayor, Bill de Blasio, very liberal mayor here in New York City. And he just announced a health plan for illegal immigrants and how they get free health care and this, that, and the third. I don't want to make this political, you know? And I did vote for de Blasio because at the time, I thought his platform was going to help the city, okay? I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm probably in between. I'm a registered independent. Difference between me and everybody else is I can't vote in the fucking primaries, okay? Whatever. I like it like that. I don't like to be labeled with a party. That's not my bag because there's a lot of things I'm conservative about, and there's a ton of things I'm very liberal about. So I feel like it balances out, you know? So I'll vote for whoever I feel has a better platform. My platform, for me, more importantly, is healthcare and education. I thought Big D was going to help us out with that. He hasn't. I thought Cuomo was going to do the right thing. He hasn't. So maybe I'll swing towards the Republicans when they run. I don't know. Even if I'm in the state by the time I get to vote for these idiots again, I'm not even sure. But again, I digress. So here we are. $5,600. I'm not paying that kind of money. And you know, it's really, my friend, and Scott, who former co-host of the show, he said on Facebook, he goes, insurance is a big scam. It is a big scam. You know, the healthcare issue in this country is so fucking piss poor. I work for the number one hospital in New York City, number six in the country, okay? So my health coverage from work is pretty fucking cool. If I didn't have this job, I'd be without coverage. I'd be dead in the water. I don't have a lot of things wrong with me health-wise. Thank the maker, and I'll knock on wood for that. But I don't know, man. It's been a deal, you know? And I don't know how people do it. You know, I don't know how people do it. I got a couple of fillings and a fucking tooth pull, and, like, I used up my allowance for the year. I don't know. Like, it baffles me. I really don't know how that happens, you know? So, I don't know. It depends. And, I have decent coverage, you know, but it's still, you still have to pay out of pocket $5,600. That's insane. That is insane to me. It's not right, you know, and that's why my dentist has a brand new fucking Apple fucking watch, brand new phone, iPhone. I saw him rocking. That's why he's got a fucking Mercedes in the parking lot of the office. So that's why they're making that fucking that tooth fairy money, man. It's ridiculous. So. The anesthetic is wearing off from the filling, so hopefully I can have some lunch in a little while and start my weekend, you know. And I wasn't going to do a show, but I figured, you know what, I might have nothing else going on, and I wasn't going to go to Choppy's house to record, so I figured I'd set up shop here at the at my studio apartment on Staten Island and Coco Cabana, see what I did there. And then you know, I got some stuff to talk about. So we can get into that and whatever Choppy's gripes are and whatever his issues are with pro wrestling, we'll deal with them back again next week because we have some cool shit lined up for you guys for the next couple of weeks. And so taking a week off, I mean, this is going to happen. We're going to take some weeks off because without a show because I know Choppy's going on vacation next month around this time. And, you know, I got birthdays to celebrate. I have concerts to go to, ball games. Like, Terminal Throwbacks takes a little bit of a backseat now with my lifestyle change a little bit because, you know, I again, Choppy's got two young kids. He works a gazillion hours a week. And we record out of his house. So we don't have any studio, really, like, alone time for that. We don't have any, like, professional shit studio real estate. So if he can't do it, this is where it's going to be. Either I'll do something solo. Maybe Anime Mike will join me. We're definitely working on some Ghetto Geek Squad stuff, so you'll have that soon. But then, you know, the bottom line is, too, is that it's not as important as it used to be. And I know it should be because, I mean, we're going on 7 years and, you know, 2 months, and I'm very proud of the stuff that we've done as a brand, and we've expanded, and some of our friends have become peers, and our peers help us out behind the scenes with social media and production and stuff like that, so I'm super excited about that. Of course, I'm always excited to be with my peers on Rant Ian Radio and the Shining Wizards Network, and who we are a part of. And I forgot to mention that at the beginning. I think I mentioned it. I'm not sure. But I get all discombobulated when I'm by myself. And I don't know why. Like, I've done a ton of these now, you know? And I've done the show by myself the first 20-something episodes, I believe, before that first guy joined me. So, either way, it's going to be a hoot. And I don't know how long it'll go for. It could be an hour. It could be 45 minutes. I don't know. But you'll get something, which... You know, the fans. I know I got a text message from my boy, Mott Spock, yesterday, and he was actually at his work, and his workplace is pretty cool at this point. I don't want to tell everybody where he was. We took a picture of his work where he was hanging out, and he had a beer and sitting down with a beautiful view of something I wish I had. But he was listening to the podcast, you know, and I like that people can use us as a getaway. As an escape from all the everyday life and grind that you do, whatever your job is, whatever your family entails, whatever your travels are. Because I have a shitty commute. So everybody's like, oh, how do you watch all these TV shows and how do you listen to all these podcasts? Simple. I have to travel 4 hours a day to work. 2 hours to, 2 hours from. So that's where I get most of my time in. You know, I work a 10-hour shift, and it's 14 to 16 hours travel days, 4 days a week. So, you know, by the time I get home, I'm fucking fried, you know. So I like to watch TV and enjoy myself and listen to multiple podcasts about multiple subjects, you know. And I found some new ones, which is cool. And, you know, I'm very happy, actually, because one of my favorite podcasts just turned 100, so I want to give a shout-out to Jimmy Ferrari from the Brooklyn Blast Furnace podcast. I've been a fan of Jimmy's since, I think I mentioned this on the show before. Jimmy did the show with another guy for a little while, and then he went solo with it. And then I listened to every episode, but I would download them sporadically and then catch up. Once he went solo, though, and dropped a two-part episode about his life, I became like an instant fan because Jimmy and I have a lot in common. And Jimmy agreed to come on the podcast because he mentioned wrestling on the show a few times. And I would love to have him on the show and talk some hardcore, New York hardcore, and some music. And we have a lot of similar interests. We're into New York hardcore, we're into metal, we're into hip-hop. And he was a pro wrestling fan as a kid. I think everybody was a pro wrestling fan as a kid in the Five Boroughs. So it'd be cool to, you know, shoot the shit with Jimmy. I'm going to work on that. He just agreed to come on a podcast on a Facebook thread, so I'll hit him up once I'm settled with equipment and stuff. I want to get some like mobile equipment so I can record from any side I want to instead of just doing it like I want to do it like he does it. You know, he has like a recorder. He goes to people's houses and their houses and studios and fucking diners and shit, restaurants or whatever. And go check out the Brooklyn Blast Furnace. Really cool guests. he's had a lot of heads on there, man. Really good, solid conversations with some really amazing people. People that I call heroes, you know, Agnostic Front and, you know, Jeff and Rage, you know. Fucking the Reverend Paulie from Sheer Terror, had Chaka from Orange Nine. He's had Craig Ahead from Sick of It All. I mean, dude, he's had the guys from The Take on Will Shepler and all those guys. I'm super stoked, man. So go support Jimmy. He's a good dude, Brooklyn guy, and support all the podcasts that we support. I'm gonna get a link for Jimmy's show and put it on .com. I don't know if I don't think he has a website up yet, but I know he has. You know, he links to all the shows and he posts them. And I posted the link to all his shows the other day. So go support Jimmy if you haven't. Please go do that, and you know, show Jimmy some love. He's really good at what he's doing right now, and I'm feeling it. And it takes the grind, some of the grind off of me when I'm going home or going to work. When he has a really cool guest, it really. You know, that my buddy Rich Fy, he interviewed one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Rich Fy. Rich, you know, from the Neighborhood Knuckleheads podcast. I had a hand in producing the first episode. And Rich has been one of my longtime friends. We've been in two bands together. He also does a band called Caught in a Trap. And he's also one of the best tattoo artists in the city, probably in the state, maybe even in the country. He's given me several of my pieces on my arms. And, he's just an all-around fucking swell dude. He had Rich on his podcast. So, support. I mean, of course, support everybody. Support everybody, man. Support the hustle. There's a hustle to this, man. That's why I like podcasting, because it to me, podcasting is like the old school way of having a band. When we were in a band, you would record a demo, and then you would chop it out, like hand it out to people at shows and record. Mail it out, fucking the record labels, and you make your own flyers. This is before social media. That was your social media. You're going to fucking Kinko's or Staples and Xeroxing or Minuteman Press, and you would fucking make a gazillion flyers and you hand them out. Make little business cards, you know, and then word of mouth. You know, certain cult promoters, they'll promote you and put you on. Jimmy has promoted shows, so he knows the deal. He could tell you all that about all that shit, and he has on his show, so. A lot of guys putting out good talent. I'm hoping that The Rant will put out more. I'm working on some projects. Hopefully, if I have time, it will come out. Shining Wizards Network always has great talent on their stuff. You know, of course, Inconclusive and The Wizards, and, you know, there's a bunch of podcasts on there. Just support all those guys. And, of course, The Midnight Jury, Handsome Dan, all those guys. I mean, you know, Wrestling Soup, Don Tony. I can go on and on and on and on and on, you know. Broad Street Breakdown, whenever they get back into business. You know, I know Pazzy's really busy. And, you know, there's so many good shows out there, man. Support them, you know. Nerdport, all those guys from Jersey, support those guys. Greg Croner Jones and the Shell Pod Network, support all his crews in the Midwest. You know, we have fans and fam all over the world right now. England, fucking Japan, like everywhere. It's so dope. Support all those guys. All right. So what else is going on? I got a Nintendo Switch. I bought the Nintendo Switch. I bought it used from a guy locally here. Mint condition. Came with a game. Came with a bunch of accessories. And I like the whole handheld thing with going to work and stuff. But I also like the fact that you can take this handheld gimmick and plug it into your TV. And Nintendo has like an online service that you can play all the old retro Nintendo games, NES games. So I was playing Pro Wrestling, and I was playing Punch-Out. I was playing Excitebike and Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong and Zelda. I got the new Mario Kart game. Got some game called Mutant League Football. Really crazy shit. It's basically just a bunch of zombies and monsters playing football. You know, and it's pretty cool. So just to get mindless shit. I like mindless gaming that can kill time, that can, it's portable, and then you can plug it into your, you know, I gotta tell you, man, Punch-Out looks dope on a 65-inch screen TV. So I'm very happy that you could plug it. That was the whole appeal of it. And plus my nephew has it. I could play Mario Kart with him upstairs, which is pretty cool, you know. We'll do that eventually. But, you know, it's... it's cool. I mean, I'm in a place now where I can, I'm not tied down to anything. My finances, I'm getting back in order. So, you know, I had some tax money left over. I figured, you know what? Fucking treat myself, man. I deserve it. I really do. I work stupid hard. And I just, if I want something, I'm just going to get it, you know? And if I can't get it, I'll wait till I have money and get it, you know? The thing is with these games, though, these fucking games, now the Switch has been out for a while, so you'd think some of the game, the values of the game would go down. These games are between $35 and $60 a pop. And they're little fucking, they're the size of micro SD adapters, like, it's insane, the technology, you know? But the touch screen, I bought a case for it. I bought a hard case for it. You know, I gave it a fucking cleaning. You know, it's, you know, I keep my shit tight anyway, you know. So I'm excited, man. I'm very excited to for the Switch. And I'm you know, you can take the things off the sides and use them as controllers. You can actually buy wireless controllers for them, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. And, I'm excited. So anybody who has a Nintendo Switch and wants to, you know, give me some game advice, you know, please, by all means, let me know. I would love to, you know, and I'm not spending $60 on games, just an FYI. I'm not, so. I want to give a shout out to Rob's homegirl, Rob Domingo from, of course, the Mighty Thumbstick Ninjas, and his friend Kyoko, K-Y-O-K-O, I know she was at the G1 living that sweet life, and she's going to Chicago and Toronto for War of the Worlds. She did an audio plug for us from the Bullet Club, so I want to thank her. And she's also friends with Miku's son. So any friend of Miku and Rob's, you know, is a friend of mine and Choppy's. So thank you very much for that, Kyoko. I really appreciate that. You know, so she's definitely aces. So thank you very much for that plug. We appreciate anybody who gets us plugs from pro wrestlers. We've gotten Bullet Club now. We've got the Bucks, Stan Hansen, Sam Roberts. We've gotten Little Egypt, Sonny Ono. Did I mention DDP? I think I said DDP too. I'm not sure. DDP, you know, and Mean Gene Okerlund, the late great Mean Gene Okerlund. God bless. You know, you guys are awesome. But yeah, my face was going off. Yes, $5,600 is a lot of money for tooth pain, fucking root canal. It's terrible, but. Anyway, so yeah, you know, give me some good advice. Give me some good games to look at to maybe possible to buy. Give me some good referrals, you know, and a lot of the games, like I like the Mario games. So I'll buy Mario Kart. I'll buy Mario Odyssey. I don't play tennis, but I like Mario Tennis. I'll probably buy that game. But, like, I like all the Mario, I like the Nintendo-based games. That's why I bought the Switch, too. Because you could buy, like, the other games basically are, you know, for every system. Like, you could buy WWE, you could buy Mortal Kombat, and all those other games. You could buy them for every platform. So I'm not gonna pay $60 for Mortal Kombat for, you know, for the Switch where I can get it on Xbox, you know, because I have the Xbox One as well. So, you know, with that all being said, again, like, it's fun. I could take it everywhere with me, which is the whole point of me having it. I could take it to work, on the way to work, on the way home from work, you know. I think you can add apps to it. I know you can watch Hulu on it. I don't know about Netflix and all other shit, but you can definitely add apps to it, and the whole online thing is pretty cool. I might keep the membership. It's $20 for the year. They got Bomberman. They got a lot of cool games on there, so. I'm excited. I'm like a kid, you know, I don't care. So, but other than that, I mean, everything else is good. I wasn't going to do a show, but I figured I'm home and I'm not doing anything right now. So I did buy some stuff for dinner. I'm going to make some steak burgers for dinner. I'm probably going to watch some wrestling. Maybe watch some hockey. If you guys are hockey fans, the playoffs have been absolutely amazing. I think there's been six or seven game sevens. We're down to the conference finals now. It's San Jose and St. Louis, and it's Carolina and the Bruins on the east side. Either way, the Stanley Cup is going to be fantastic. A lot of great goaltending this year. I prefer the winner out of the West. I can't root for the Bruins really that much because Tim Thomas ain't playing for them no more, and I like him. But Carolina's a really good team. Carolina has had the hardest road of all the teams, actually. They had to beat the champs. They beat the Capitals, and then they went and beat up on the Islanders, but they had a rough road. And then, of course, Boston had to go beat Toronto, which I thought they were going to lose that. And then they came back to win that. And then they beat Columbus, the Blue Jackets, which are another good team. So I think the Eastern teams and the Sharks had some Game 7, still against Colorado and Calgary. Oh, no, Colorado, I forget. But there's been so many. I'm not really following basketball that much. I can care less. I just don't like the way basketball is structured lately. These super teams. I know the Knicks are probably going to wind up being a super team because they have all this money to spend in a free agency, and they're going to have probably the top three draft picks in the country. So I'll have to see what happens in June. But I don't know, man. It's been rough. It's been a rough deal with these teams. I'm having a hard time. Baseball's in full swing. I'm very excited for baseball. Mets are sucking dick lately. But it's only May. I can't get really excited. I can't really get too upset right now. They got to get over this. This offense is atrocious. Their bullpen is supposed to be better on paper than what it was. We had a couple of injuries as well. I'm not making excuses. However, it's got to get a tighter ship. You know, there's definitely room to improve. This team is amazing on paper, no pun intended, because they call the amazing Mets. But on paper, they're really good. You know my woes as a Met fan. It's not the best times when you're a Met fan during the summer. But I'm not gonna be getting too overly upset about it. I'm not. I mean, it's only May. You know, maybe Father's Day in a month from now, July All-Star break. If they still suck, then they're probably out of it, and they should really think about, you know. This new GM should really think about new management. You know, again, Mickey Callaway is in essence, he's a rookie manager. He's only had one season under his belt. But he's supposed to be this pitching guru. But the pitching hasn't been fixed. The back end of that rotation is terrible, first of all. And on top of that being terrible, now one of the guys in the back rotation is hurt. And the other guy has a fucking 9 ERA. When you have two pitchers right now on the market that are proven, haven't been signed yet, throw some money at them. Get a lefty ground ball pitcher like Keuchel in there, man, for Citi Field. He'd be perfect for that fucking stadium. But no, he'll go to the Yankees, and they'll contend, because that's what the Yankees do. The Yankees, hate them or you love them, they have great management. They're the most expensive franchise in sports. They put asses in the seats every single year. And when the Yankees want to improve on something, they do. And that's what the blueprint should be for every team that's in a bigger market in terms of city. If you're Boston, if you're Los Angeles, if you're New York, you know, if you're California, the rest of California, not just Los Angeles, you should be spending money on this team. If you're going to charge me $75 to sit near home plate, if you're going to charge me $13 a beer, $40 for a hat, $6, $8 for a foot-long hot dog with fries, at least, and $25, $30 to park, it's $100 just to walk into the fucking stadium. If you're going to charge me this money, I don't mind paying the premium for entertainment. Have at it, you know what I'm saying? My thing is, at least give me a contender. Bring in players every year that are gonna perform up the snub and at least contend for a playoff or a championship of some sort. You guys have to come correct. This is New York City. The Mets have been in existence for almost 60 years and have only had two championships. That's not cool. when you play 5 miles away from the 27-time world champion New York Yankees. Not competing per se, but competing for a market, you know? Both stadiums should be rocking every single summer. Because New Yorkers pay a premium for entertainment, okay? I went to the movies with my girlfriend a couple of months ago, right? My new girlfriend, right? And we had just started dating, and it was $80 for, it's a dine-in theater. So $80 for the tickets and for the food. $80. Again, I don't mind. It's a date. It's a fun night out. I'll pay the premium if it's good. If the seats are comfortable, if the sound is always amazing, and the food was really good, considering it's a fucking movie theater, right? I will pay a premium for entertainment because I work stupid hard for my money, and I feel like that's my one thing besides Strat and podcasting that I do, then have at it. You know, we're going to a house show, NXT, in about another week or two. I think it's next week. And, you know, you pay a premium sometimes. You know, I don't mind paying $40 for a ticket, $50 for a ticket, $60 for a ticket, because I know what I'm getting. NXT's going to come correct. They're going to come correct, and I'll have a good time, regardless. So, when you pay a premium for entertainment, you want that. You know, you want that that experience to be well, you know? So, and that's pretty much it. Nothing else really is going on. It was Free Comic Book Day last week, and I saw Hammer. Hammer was on the show with us last week, and I was very excited for him. He picked up some graphic novels that I read when I was getting ready. Bought Infinity Gauntlet. I got him Flashpoint. And the best part of that whole experience was him calling me the next day and telling me, hey, I finished those books. And I'm like, what? I bought the Crisis book. I'm only 25 pages in because I've been busy, you know. But he's been reading, and I was his age when I got the grip, when comic books had a grip on me. So it was so – it was Free Comic Book Day, and I spent so much money. So I don't care. I told his mom, I don't care. I don't care. I spent all the money because it's well worth it. For him, that phone call he made to me the next day was one of the greatest phone calls I've ever gotten from him in his short life. I can't believe he's going to be 12 years old next month. I can't believe he's 5'1", and he's so much – he's such a fun kid. And I miss him like crazy, but I do get to see him, which is pretty cool. With all the circumstances and whatnot, but he's such a good kid, and he loves everything I love, which makes that transition pretty fun for me because I could talk to him about all the cool shit, even though I'm not there with him all the time like I used to be. It's pretty refreshing, and he's such a mark for wrestling. He's a mark for the comic books and the superheroes, and he sings, he dances, he acts. He's just a good, well-rounded kid. He's smart. He's in honors classes. I couldn't ask for a better kid. And I'm glad I had a role in helping raising him. I had him since he's 2.5 years old. So I know he's listening too. So, Mike, I love you. And I want you to know I'm very proud of you. And I also want you to know that I don't want you to stop doing anything. I want you to read. I want you to act. I want you to sing. I want you to dance. I want you to do all things that you love to do. And don't let anybody deter you from your dreams and your goals and your aspirations. And whatever you need, anything you need, I'll always be here for you. Okay? I love you very much. Very, very much. Okay, before I start crying and all sappy and shit, let me take a quick break. Let's plug our friends, and we'll come back and talk some wrestling. You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We are live on Rant EM Radio, rantemradio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. And I'll be right back, boys and girls.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, RantEMRadio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
As I said, Harris has improved so much, but just there where, if you're not quite aggressive enough, boom, Garvin came out. A little more experience Garvin had, and a tremendous win on Garvin's part. And it's part of the youth and the young athletes of the day, and one of them is Gino Hernandez. Now, is this a great man or not?
He is quite an athlete, there's no question about it, and I believe you do want to interview him at this time.
If you wouldn't mind, I would like to take Mr. Soli this opportunity to interview this great athlete. You see, Mr. Hernandez, I would like to say that it's a pleasure, and I owe you an apology, because when I saw you in the ring, first of all, it did not click amazingly enough with me. You are Gino Hernandez. You are famous in Texas. I've seen you wrestle. You have beaten opponent after opponent, and I apologize, and what you did here is just part of being the young youth scientific wrestler of the day. Slip right in there, and we have something in common. You destroyed Brad Armstrong, I destroyed Daddy Bob, and I just want you to know that it is a pleasure to have you here.
The feeling is mutual. I just like to say I feel kind of guilty about being so conniving to kind of slip in here in such a low-key way, but I'd like to say it had to be done, as you know, Roddy, because all these so-called champions and these egomaniacs like Dusty Rhodes and like Garvin guy and leave it be like the Armstrongs, which are more washed up than Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, and Roberto Duran combined. I'd just like to say to all you people out there, gorgeous Gino Hernandez, the handsome half-breed. I'm more handsome than Sylvester Stallone and Eric Estrada combined. More gorgeous than Bo Derek. And let me say something. You know, the biggest nuisance that's been bothering me for so long is one blonde-headed punk sissy by the name of Tommy Rich, who everybody calls Wildfire. Well, I'd like to say, Tommy Rich, you talk about all the women screaming about you. Well, I want to point something out to you, Tommy Rich. I want to point it out. All these women. Well, I've always gone by the saying, quantity over quality. And right here, I have something to show you from last Tuesday night in Houston, Texas. right here, Roddy, I'd like to show you and the people pictures. No other than Farrah Fawcett on her birthday. Who does she choose to be with on her birthday? No other than gorgeous Gino, the handsome half-breed. Now, what you got to say, Tommy Rich? Hey, pretty boy, what do you got to say about that? Farrah Fawcett didn't come in looking for you when she wanted to celebrate her birthday. Nobody's looking for you that's anybody, Tommy Rich. And let me say something, Wildfire, you're nothing. You are nothing. You know, I don't blame the women for their inferior choice by pulling and rooting and crying and screaming over Tommy Rich only because they've had nothing to compare to. But Tommy Rich, comparing you to me, at the age of 24, I've accomplished more than any man in any sport. And comparing you to me is like comparing a Volkswagen to a Rolls Royce. There is no comparison,
you see,
right,
you're
Roddy?
Exactly right, Jim. Such a pleasure.
A pleasure.
You see, this is youth. This is science. This is champion. This is what we've been talking about. And Mr. Hernandez, we could continue. But, oh, isn't that so sweet? But why talk anymore? Because if we try to tell them too much, we talk over their heads. So let's go to a commercial because it's been your pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, rantemradio.com, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. It's your boy, Philly Rea, riding solo tonight. Okay, so I got some stuff off my chest, I'm glad. It's not just a philatorial. We all got to talk about wrestling tonight because I have a lot of wrestling talk, and I watch some wrestling, actually. Well, first and foremost, I've been continuing my watching of the Dark Side of the Ring documentary on Viceland, and I got to see the Von Erichs one and, of course, Gino Hernandez. I think the Dick Mula is the next one, but I mean, the Von Erichs, everybody knows the story. We've spoke about the Von Erichs a few times on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I didn't really go into depth about the tragedy. There was a couple of documentaries already. Nothing I really didn't know, per se. You know, World Class was one of the first wrestling shows that I got to see on U68. Well, premise that when I was a kid, I didn't have cable until 1990. I think I told that story, but we had the UHF channels. You have to click them over. There was two sets of channels, and UHF channel 68 here in New York would have different wrestling shows. They'd have Jim Crockett. They'd have World Class, Florida Championship Wrestling, but everything was dated 6 months to a year behind. So they would show episodes of wrestling, but it was not recent. That's how I knew all these guys. But the Von Erichs, everybody knew about the Von Erichs. If you read all the magazines, they were always on the cover of the magazines in there. And their deaths were national news because they were so popular in Texas and in pro wrestling. So, you know, they were public figures, no doubt. And, I mean, the whole scene is sad. I mean, from losing all the brothers, you know, Kevin losing all the brothers. And then on top of that, his dad losing his mind with brain cancer, and then him and his mom, the parents splitting up. Like, the wife apparently blamed Fritz for all the kids getting messed up. I knew all that stuff. It's still sad. And I know we'll do some more stuff on the Von Erichs. I got to tell you, though, man, such a tragic story. When you think about the talent that Mike had alone, like, they were touting Mike as the next world champion. And when he went to Japan, when he died in Japan, he went to All Japan to wrestle for Baba. And it was a thing where I know Fritz didn't want those kids to lose dates and miss dates and stuff like that too, but he was sick before he left. So he was getting sick, and it was, sadly, the gastroenteritis took over and his intestines got to a point where they burst and he bled internally and filled up with liquid, and, you know, that was it, basically. He choked on his own insides, which is a tragic way to die. You know, and then we all know what happened with Kerry. So now, this week was the anniversary of the match with Ric Flair and Kerry Von Erich. So 35 years ago this week, it was 83, November of 83. No, I'm sorry. It was the match itself was the Parade of Champions thingy. It was so that night was it was the biggest day in pro wrestling. It was before Hogan slammed Andre, of course, at WrestleMania 3. And it was his 84. This is 50,000 people in Texas Stadium, May 6th of 84. And David, I'm sorry, not Mike, David was groomed to be the, I'm sorry, I kept saying Mike, but it was David who died and all that. But he was groomed to have that title. But he died after Thanksgiving Star Wars, which was in February of 84 in a hotel room in Japan, like I said. So he had gotten, David was dying inside. His insides were dying. Like I said, the intestines thing. He got hit. Apparently, he had a shot to the sternum in a match in Japan. So, but I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff going on. So, Fritz, being a prominent promoter in Texas, part of the NWA was like, listen, you got to give me my thing, and you know, let's give one of the Von Erichs a rub. Let's give Kerry the title, you know. And then, you know, then there was so many rumors that David was on pain pills and Brody found them dead. And Brody got rid of pills, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Either way, so Flair was the man at that point in 83, 84, whatever. And his main rival was David, not Kerry. David beat Flair for the NWA Missouri title in September of 83. That transitioned to Missouri legend Harley Race in 84, January. And then Flair took the world title of Harley Race at Starrcade. We know that. And then at the Thanksgiving Star Wars, David was Texas heavyweight champion. He retained against Kamala that night. So when you have a lot of money, don't worry. I'm sorry. That's my Kamala imitation. On Christmas night, though, in 83, David Von Erich and Flair battle for the world title, Flair winning that match. So now, after beating David on Christmas, there was a promo cut on Mike's inability to wrestle. Not far from the truth, because Mike was fucking terrible anyway. This led to a very special challenge from David. If Mike could last in the cage for 10 minutes with Flair without being pinned, Flair would have to put up the title against David. Again, under any other stipulations David wanted, right? So Mike did last 10 minutes on January 30th of 84, which is right around the time Hogan beat the Sheik for the title, ironically. It was the same week. David had a shot. And in truth, the NWA voting committee had decided in January of 84 to put the belt on David Von Erich around sometime in March or April of that year. So David was groomed to be champion regardless. That was going to happen, allegedly. This is from what I read. So Fritz, you know, being Fritz, you know, he wanted to, you know, he retired, wanted his sons to run a promotion or whatever, you know, and David was already booked for Japan, so that's what happened. You know, he, of course, we know David never came back, obviously. The match with Flair was going to take place sometime after the return when that would never happen. So Fritz got on the mic, he talked about David, the freak accident. You know, David's legacy was one of the other Von Erich boys, Kerry or Kevin, to carry the quest for the title, right? So, you know, Fritz, and you watch the documentary, Fritz basically deflected the emotional impact of the one tragedy and then the other and whatever, and the Von Erich name, and because they wanted to replace David. They brought in this dude, Lance Von Erich, who looked like a Von Erich, but he wasn't a Von Erich. And he was not only was he not a Von Erich, but he was fucking terrible in the ring. And the other brothers were against it. Nice guy, but just in the wrong place, wrong time. And that's probably how wrestling was back in the day, you know. So they bring Lance in, who's awful, And then the fans are like, you're insulting my intelligence, because we all know that's not a Von Erich, you know? But the Parade of Champions thing happened in David's name. The Memorial Parade of Champions was on May 6th of 84. Flair did drop the title to Kerry. Excuse me. So, I don't have a mic pause here, so you have to, if I yawn, I apologize. I don't have my mixer with me right now. So, anyway, whatever motivation that was, whatever, the NWA was like, all right, well, we'll give it to Kerry. Kerry was in a bad place, too. He had drug addictions and all that, you know. I remember Flair wrote in his autobiography, he had several matches with Kerry Von Erich where he was so smacked out of his face that he did things like wrestle without tying his boots. He intricately worked out match sequences and left in the middle of the match to hit on women in the crowd. He didn't no-show an event. He didn't no-show an event, and for which became notorious. Kevin never struggled publicly with his addictions, unlike David and Kerry, although, you know, he had a little, you know, the mic work was to be desired, so, you know. But, you know, that was a plan to give Kerry the belt on that day. And the match happened. 50,000 people. I watched the match just now recently, a day or two ago. He had the Yellow Rose. Was David had been nicknamed the Yellow Rose of Texas because of a folk song. We always, you know, get up to the ring. I mean, most of the match was Flair. You know, he takes the toss from the top rope, does the chop, you know, goes for the figure four. Kerry blocks it. Then reverses Flair, hip toss into a backslide, win the title. The crowd is absolutely electric. One of the most hottest crowds ever was them, you know. Maybe not as loud as Silverdome a couple of months later, but a couple of year later or two later, but, you know. The whole family was in there, and it was short-lived. Kerry was already known for, like, no-showing, blowing off matches, wrestling drunk. The committee was not going to let him hold on to that belt at all. So, you know, 18 days later in Japan, Flair won it back and then held the belt for another 2 years before losing it to the Dream in 86. So, you know, it just, and then the tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, you know. Kerry, I forget it, Chris Von Erich. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But it's a good, I mean, these documentaries are good if you don't know the story, and you should check it out. Gino Hernandez, as you just heard the promo, the handsome half-breed himself, died tragically. And I say tragically because he was only in his 20s, and he was just getting to be great. And Gino was one of those guys. He was like a Ric Flair type, lived a gimmick, you know, fast cars, fast women, looked good, was a very, very good looking dude, but he could wrestle and he could talk. This was the promo I just played for him in Georgia. And, you know, I was only 12 or 13 when he passed away. So when Gino passed, it was a big deal in wrestling because he was the next big thing, you know. He had a team, him and Chris Adams, Gentleman Chris Adams, another guy who passed away. They were the dynamic duo. Then they lost a hair versus hair match against the Von Erichs, and that set up them breaking up. Chris went on to be a babyface for most of his career. Wound up mentoring Steve Austin, that whole thing. But again, like, the coulda, shoulda, woulda. And I had this conversation with Choppy a little while ago on the phone. Choppy was like, you know, you have to see the documentary. It's really good, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you think he would have been something? You think he would have been a horseman? I'm like, yeah. Either he would have been a horseman at Jim Crockett Promotions, or he would have been like the best heel, the best face. Like, he would have been like their Magnum TA or their Sting or their Lex Luger. So, Gino was probably better heel, but if they needed a face to fight Ric Flair, if they didn't want to pair him with Ric Flair, Dejarin. And I watched that documentary. We know the circumstances. They found them dead for seven. Found them dead, and there was no foul play. But the deadbolt was off, and from the inside, and the bolt, the sugar bowl of cocaine, and there was a gazillion amounts of cocaine in his system during the toxicology report. So we know that he was involved in some shady shit. We know now that he was moving cocaine to make extra money. The paranoia that they mentioned on the documentary was probably prominent then, because he was worried about getting whacked out of his face because again, this was the 80s and drugs were prominent, but now you're moving the shit and maybe it was catching up to him. Maybe he was taking some off the top. Maybe he wasn't selling enough. Maybe he was stealing it. Nobody knows. No one really knows. I didn't know that he was married at a young age and had children. I didn't know that, and then divorced really quickly. I didn't even know that. That's something I didn't know, And I didn't even know how much of a role Bruce Pritchard was in this. I forgot that he started in that territory. So, I didn't even know about it either. So that's pretty interesting. But the promo I just played was pretty cool because it's him and Piper. Piper's doing the interview with Gordon Solie, and Gino's got a photo album of him and Farrah Fawcett for her birthday, which is pretty hysterical. But just listen to the promo for that time. It was pretty dope. It was very Ric Flair-ish, if you want to go that route, But the documentary was well done. I suggest you all watch it. And I mentioned Gino Hernandez a lot of times on the podcast. I want to do a couple of his matches. Maybe we'll do a dynamic duo Von Erich feud throwback for you guys. I don't know. Me and Chavi have to work on getting. It's all about getting the footage. If I can get the footage chronologically, I could definitely do something like that. That'd be pretty interesting. So definitely go check those out. Let's get into some news and notes right now. Okay, let's see here. War of the Worlds is going on, Ring of Honor. There was a new champion crowned in Toronto, and we'll get into that right now. I have to pull up the news sites right now, so let's do that. Shane Taylor won the TV title. He beat Brody King, Hirooki Goto, and Jeff Cobb in a four-way. So congratulations to Shane Taylor, Choppy's favorite wrestler. Taylor stole the victory by tossing Cobb outside the ring after he hit the finisher onto King and spiked the Villain Enterprises member with the Rikishi driver. Cobb, having not been pinned himself, confronted Taylor after the matchup but graciously handed him the title and left without getting physical. So the full results. Do I have the full results? No, I don't have the full results. Let's see. Jack Swagger receives a phone call from Donald Trump. Do we care? No, I don't care. I have the results from Toronto, from War of the Worlds, from yesterday. So let's get into the rest of those. Let's see. Bullet Club, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Hikuleo. Thank you very much for the drop again, guys. Thank you to Naoko for that, too. Defeating Clark Connors, Carl Fredericks, and Adam Coughlin. Yuji Nagata, the ageless Yuji Nagata, defeated Silas Young by DQ. Nagata tricked the referee into thinking that Young hit him with a chair. The crowd loves the spot, whatever. Evil and Sonata defeated The Kingdom, TK Orion, and Vinny Marseglia. Rush, whatever the hell you want to pronounce it, defeats PJ Black. The Briscoes defeated Lifeblood, Mark Haskins, and Tracy Williams. After the match, Bully Ray tries to pick a fight with Lifeblood. Nothing ever happens. Kelly Klein, women's champion, comes out, issues an open challenge. The Allure responds. Angelina Love says she will face Klein for the title, but not until they return to the U.S. Klein ragdolls Love across the ring and beats it. Then that ends the segment. Jay Lethal defeats Satoshi Kojima. And Matt Taven defeated PCO to retain the Ring of Honor World Championship. So can't wait to see that on demand. It should, looks like an interesting, fun card. Let's see what else is going on here. Let's see. New Japan is doing the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. And Flip Gordon and Desperado are forced to withdraw from the tournament due to injury. Let's get into that real quick. Suzuki-gun member El Desperado and Flip Gordon will no longer be competing in this year's Battle of Super Juniors. Gordon was not injured. He wasn't able to get a proper visa in time. But Desperado is injured. I remember that he did break his hand against Jun Kasai. They're going to be replaced by Ren Narita and Duki, D-U-O-K-I. I keep fucking that dude's name up. I'm sorry. Let's see. What else? Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Santana from LAX is injured. Matt Morgan won mayor of his town in Florida. Remember that guy? The Blueprint. Let's see. John Cena's got a new DVD out. Who cares? Tony Storm pulled from Stardom match with Bea Priestley. AEW got the deal with Turner. So I guess Tuesday night Dynamite's happening. Hope they do it 8:05 or 9:05, whatever it is. That should be interesting. I didn't finish watching NXT this week. But there's dissension in the ranks with Adam Cole and Roddy Strong with the Undisputed Era. Let's see. Anything else? Nothing really worthwhile. Oh, no, speaking of Undisputed Era, Adam Cole is fighting Austin Theory at the Evolve event. I think it's last night or tonight. I don't have the rest of the information though. Let's see, anything? Oh yeah, Lars Sullivan made some stupid comments. Let's talk about that for a second. Give me one to pull it up here. That guy's a chooch. WWE officials reportedly aware of controversial Lars Sullivan comments that are in the news this week. According to WrestleVotes on Twitter, as noted, Big E took to Twitter, responded to a fan who about controversial comments made to Lars Sullivan. Big E indicated that the comments were no secret with WWE. What did he say? He wrote, many are aware it's true. He has to bear the albatross of being a bigot working in a company that is now filled with minorities. Laws allegedly made offensive comments which were racist, anti-religion, and more on the bodybuilding.com message board before he was signed by WWE. A fan gathered them in a Reddit thread and then tweeted them out to a link to Big E this week, which brought them back up after they had made rounds on social media a few months prior. It should be noted that Laws allegedly made the comments under an account, but it has been proven to be him. Okay. So, I don't want to read the comments. If he did, shame on him. Hopefully he didn't mean it. But even if he didn't mean it, why would you say shit like that anyway? You know, stupid. Very, 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 very stupid. Let's see. Anything going on? Look at Ring of Honor site. Let's see. All right. Nothing going on here. Let's see. Just checking. All right. Let's see there. No, any news on the E? Andre the Giant documentary will be on the network this Sunday. That's interesting. Hope it's the HBO one. That was pretty cool. And that's pretty much it with the news like that. I didn't, you know, I haven't watched anything else. I really just been so busy with work, and I've been taking on some more responsibility at work, so I really haven't gotten a chance to do anything significant in terms of wrestling. So I'm actually glad that Choppy got a night off so we could just get refreshed and come back for next week, because we've been going pretty strong since the beginning of the year. So I'm glad I could be in a position to do all of this anyway. I do like an hour, and that's pretty much it. I can't really talk for 2 hours anymore by myself. I really don't have that much to talk about. And quite honestly, I don't have much to complain about anymore. I've changed some things personally and professionally and mentally and physically. So I don't, you know, sometimes you got to just take a step back and see things for what they are and just live your life, man, and take care of yourself. And which is important because, you know, you only get one shot at this. And I had a coworker who lost a brother-in-law this week, and he was only in his mid to late 30s. Even if the circumstances behind it were not what they expected, whatever the case may be, it's none of anybody's business how it happened. But, you know, the theme of the week was life is too short. Life is very short, and you guys only have one shot at this life. So make it your absolute very best. Live every day like it's your last, and remember to love and respect. And I know I say this every day, and then I say it on the show every week. Take care of yourselves, each other. I mean that. I wholeheartedly mean that for everybody. You only have one shot at this. Like I said, there's only one time. So if you're regretting stuff, you know, deal with it. If you haven't called your mama and told you loved her, it's Mom's Day on Sunday. Mom, I love you. She's a little under the weather, so even though she's listening to my podcast, I love you, Mom. Rest up. And your presents are on the way. And I can tell her that because she doesn't listen to the podcast. So anyway, but yeah, if you haven't heard from your family, give them a call. Tell them you love them. If you haven't heard from your kids, if there's circumstances around that, you haven't seen your kids, give them a call. Tell them you love them. You know, you're loved. You're very loved. You're loved by me. You're loved by Chop. You're loved by a lot of people, your friends, your family. And you should know that every day. And you should wake up knowing that every day. You should wake up knowing that your purpose in life is to love and love unconditionally and be the absolute best person you can be. Because if you can't, then you need to get some help. Talk to somebody. And even professionally, trust me, it works. And just try to get by. I know things are hard. I know the economy's getting better, but it was shitty for a while, and people are not without work or part-time work or whatever the case may be, or maybe you're going through some personal shit, some relationship stuff, or maybe you got some health problems going on. Just know that it always could be worse, and hopefully it'll get better for you, you know? That's pretty much going to do it for me, man. I have nothing else to go by. So please do me a favor. Thank you very much again. But do me a favor, support all the social media gimmicks that Chops and I are on. You know, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think there's a Snapchat account, but we don't use it. You know, we know the deals. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com for all your back content. RantEMRadio.com. I mentioned that before. Of course, as always, the Shining Wizards Network. Support them and their website as well. All of our content is there, as well as the other shows. Please back them. Please support them. Please back all the shows that I have on our page. Click those links. Get some downloads. Support those guys too. Get them likes on the iTunes gimmick and all of the shit. So that's gonna do it for me, man. Guys, have a great rest of your week. Again, happy Mom's Day to all you moms out there, especially to my mom and my sisters and all my families who are moms too, and friends who are mothers. Choppy's wife, Brielle, who's a new mom again. So shout out to her and her two babies. And everybody, man, thanks to our moms for holding it down for us. Our moms are the reason why we're here. All right? Take care, bitches. I'm out. and take care of yourself, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say all those nasty words, and good night, Gracie.